Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we'd like to welcome you again to another episode of Africa on the Move. That's right, Africa's on the move. It made a decision to go forward ever and backwards never. Tonight we'll be speaking on a perspective, a world perspective from below. That is, looking from the masses' point of view and looking at today's reality. With us tonight, we're going to have Brother Haki from the African Awareness Association. He's going to be giving his perspectives on several current events, issues that confront our people. But one of the things, first and foremost, as always, we'd like to greet our brother with a revelatory greeting. Brother, hello. How you doing, Brother Haki?
Peace, Brother Africa. How you doing?
Trying to make a contribution to the African Revolution. Brother Haki, tonight our topic, our theme is going to be a world perspective from below. When the term below, we are getting into the connotation of looking at from those at the bottom, those who have been locked out, those who have been victimized, those who have been oppressed. And I know when they view their realities in that world, it takes a different perspective from what we have seen from the global media and the slavery media. So first and foremost, let's just talk about something that real general that we often hear a lot, but we don't really basically really understand it. Let's just talk about the concept of the economy, the state of the economy. If you had to give your view or your spin on the state of the economy today as it relates to African people worldwide, and you can in particular talk a little bit more precisely in the U.S., what would be the state of the economy from your perspective?
Well, I think the state of the economy generally is pretty bad. Specifically, as relates to the United States, is particularly bad. I think that one of the things that the capitalist class, one of the problems the capitalist class is having, is a question in terms of what do you do with all these people and what you have no need for. Now, keep in mind, with the expansion of this global economy, increasingly more and more people find themselves unable to find jobs, unable to find shelter. So in the eyes of the capitalists, they're non-productive, which means that they have no place for them. And the question for them is, what do you do with all these people you don't need, and particularly poor and working people or African people? Now, there's a Malthusian theory would say that there's an overabundance of human beings on the planet, and the question is, how do you get rid of them? Now, of course, Africa has always been primary focus in terms of eliminating the population. Africans in America, which constitute a colony, if you look at the way the global system works, in actuality, African people in America are a colony. And so as such, that, you know, our employment levels expand and contract based upon the capitalist need. In other words, as the economy declines, there's less need for workers, so which means that in terms of African people here in America, there's less need for them to find work, or certainly a less opportunity to create jobs for people in which the economy simply can't support in the first place. So I think in terms of overall economy, as with African Americans, I don't think realistically anyone can expect, you know, for the situation to improve in it at all. Now, one of the things that they keep talking about, as, you know, as I listen to Obama and Romney and the rest of them, they keep talking about, you know, if only we could facilitate more trade, you know, if we have a more balance between import and export, that the economic picture would actually improve. But in fact, in terms of U.S. exports have been increasing, but unemployment or lack of employment has been also increasing. So the question is that even though they try to create a connection between import-exports and employment, when it comes to African people, clearly import-export has no relationship in terms of the number of African people who are actually in a position to find jobs in America. And so I think this whole thing in terms of this Malthusian theory, I think it's something that I think African people in America have to take very, very seriously in terms of their livelihood or their or even their right to exist here in America. So I think this whole thing in terms of the economy is all geared towards disguising the fact that in the global economy, there's so many people you simply don't need. And the question is, how do you get rid of them? You get rid of them by you know, by stressing them out? Do you get rid of them by increasing the level of hopelessness they feel? Do you get rid of them by simply lack of medical care? These are questions for capitalists to determine in terms of how do you get rid of all these people that you don't want. Now, my biggest concern, Brother Africa, is that these are historically, these have been variables they've always used in terms of limiting or undermining the growth of African population in America, and they have been marginally successful. But I think as the economy declines more and more, there's a greater need to eliminate larger and larger numbers of African people. I think at some point they get to the point where the only real solution for them is to literally to finance right-wing groups to actually carry out, you know, wholesale destruction and killing of a large number of African people for a couple of reasons. A, to terrorize them, and more importantly, to justify in terms justify their destruction, given the fact that the economy simply can't employ them. So by making it look like somehow that it's their problem, the reason they can't find jobs is because of some adequacy that it gets on their part, it puts it, gets the system off the hook. So I think those are, that's something that I think and the African people have been very, very concerned about in America.
That's interesting in terms of your analysis you just gave. It makes one wonder, maybe, and I'd like to, for you to respond to it, is the rationale for attacking public schools now on the pretense that they are not functioning, they are not educating the youth today, teachers are not doing a good job, so therefore they are trying to fire your teachers and privatize schools. You know, I'm just wondering this whole question too, this war on terror, and when we talk about this war on terror, they have expanded the definition of terrorism where it can include even the issue of people not having the right to speak out or be in opposition to state official positions. And they're using that as a means to go at organizations and individuals and what have you. I'm just wondering, in terms of your, one of the major points that you're making is the need to create different tools to eliminate people, aim to identify particular types of group people based upon one's race. That's what's taking place now. You know, I just often wonder, I know right now there also is there's an academic in the medical field of obesity and the problems that that is bringing on the general population, particularly people of color and those that have been denied equal access to resources here. Some of these things are just all part of the grand scheme of trying to eliminate populations. Like in the past, the Germans were talking about eugenics. Has they ever really stopped trying to implement the program, Brother Hockey, as it relates to people of color, based on your rationale of this point in time, given the development of capitalism, they have no more need for this type of label?
I mean, Brother Africa, I think you're absolutely right. I think just in terms of when you look at the whole question in terms of public schools versus private schools, the whole thing, I think, in the context of a global economy, like I said before, there's a tremendous amount of people you simply don't need. And simply, and given that reality, if you got all these people you don't need, what sense would it make the capitalist to have an educated populace? Now, keep in mind, if you're truly committed to a democracy, then the best thing you could do is have an educated electorate. Matter of fact, the more intelligent people you are, the more increases the possibility that you're actually going to have a democracy. Now, but if you're in decline, if your system, economic, political, social system is in decline, then why would you want educated people? You wouldn't want educated people. On the contrary, you want people who are incapable of thought, incapable of analysis, incapable of putting things together in terms of understanding the world they live in. And so, therefore, this whole thing in terms of education is that, for the power structure, if you can justify, you know, not educating these people, then you always can justify why these people don't have jobs. This is a double-edged sword. On one hand, people have not been educated, but then you can turn around and say, well, the reason why they're not employed is because they're uneducated. And so this is the reason why they're doing it. Now, also keep in mind the kind of jobs that are being created. Most jobs are being created in the so-called global economy in the U.S. Are service sector jobs: McDonald's, Wendy's, you know, secretaries, that kind of thing. I mean, and most of these jobs don't pair with them, you know, large wages. So you don't, you're not going to receive a livable wage. But as long as you lack education, the low wage that you receive can always be justified. So I think that we have to understand that. Now, keep in mind also, as this global economy expands, and the reason why it's expanding is because there's more money than in the United States. If you can go to the Philippines or to Africa or to Central and South America and pay somebody the equivalent of a couple of dollars a day, then in terms of your own profit margin, it would be tremendous. Therefore, the need aspiration of people nationally or here domestically here in the United States is not really important to the United States, because what they see is that, you know, your demand for unions, demand for higher wages, all those kind of things, they adversely impact the bottom line. On the contrary, what they want to do is to increase the bottom line. So setting up corporations abroad are more attractive to the capitalist class. And strange enough, even though these people would labor those individuals who don't have jobs as somehow lazy, the question in terms of why are you establishing corporations in other places at the expense of the workers in the United States is a question that never gets asked. You can't get the news to ask it. You can't get journalists to ask it. Nobody will ever ask that question. But yet they persist in saying that, you know, the people in the country, in America, who don't have jobs,
let me stop you for a second. You asked that question. What question again? You saying you can't get them to ask. Make sure the audience tune in on this one. What's the question that you saying they never ask? I just want to be clear.
Well, you can't get them to understand why they would take corporations that employ American people, citizens. Why are they taking those corporations and moving them abroad? It's a very fundamental question, because if your position is that people don't want to work, then you got to explain to me, then if in fact people don't want to work, then explain to me why you would move corporations abroad, which increases the probability that people won't have anywhere to work. But nobody ever deals with that question. Now, Obama's response in terms of corporations moving abroad is what? To pay corporations to essentially stay in the United States to provide jobs for people here. But why would corporations do that when you're getting tax breaks to set up abroad, when you can avoid your fair share of taxes by having your parent company abroad, or where you even produce abroad, and which brings you tremendous savings in terms of taxes? So why would you want to set up in the United States? So on one hand, Obama's talking about, you know, this idealism about if only we can pay corporations to move back to the United States. But on the other hand, I'm telling people that's not exactly the way things work, because as it stands now, corporations are financed, they're supported, they're encouraged to move their corporations abroad. So it's a thing I think that people have to begin to ask themselves in terms of what does that mean. If people can't understand that as these corporations move around the world and set up shop, if they can't see that their own self-interest is in doubt, then I don't know what it takes to make people understand the seriousness of the situation.
So are you saying that we are being taken, or we are falling for the okey-doke when one make the rationale that in order to improve the economy here, one needs to ensure that private industry are given all of the advantages that they need to make a greater profit? Or in other words, the trickle-down theory: the more they have at the top, the more they can give and filter down to those in need. You said that telling us the okey-doke when it comes to that.
Yeah, I think it's precisely it. I think it's extraordinary, the ability to tell people that, you know what, if the current course that we're pursuing is best in terms of increasing employment, giving a better life for citizens in America. And in fact, that's far from the truth. But it's the line that they continue to put out, and it's just amazing to me how people actually swallow that line. people are more apt to vilify or to demonize poor people than they are to actually look at the structural barriers that exist in terms of those institutions that prevent people, you know, from finding jobs, or those policies that are in place that encourage these corporations to set up abroad. So I think you're absolutely correct, Brother Africa, is that we're caught up in a situation which, you know, we're fed a daily dose of BS, and for too many of us, we have actually internalized the BS and think that in fact what we're being told on TV is correct and honest, and not understanding that this is all part of a disinformation program. It's all geared toward telling people, you know, not what's really going on. They only tell people what they want people to think as opposed to what's really going on. So it's incumbent upon people to actually, you know, read up on this stuff and to thoroughly understand precisely what's going on. And no longer can we afford to go, okay, Doc, look at the stakes, it's something too high.
Okay, that's really interesting. When we talk about economy, Brother Hakeem, we also talk about how governments create policies to have to govern their people. When I say govern their people, I'm talking about politically as well as I'm talking about in terms of how do you physically manage them in terms of make them adhere to certain social behavior. Given the fact I'm stating that, what I lean to is this question of when you look at one of the major industries that are now making money in this capitalist society that we live in is the industrial police complex prison system. They are militarizing the police. They are militarizing the military forces because we know they are fighting more wars abroad. And that's one of the major industries right now that they is making money, along with the prison industrial complex, where they are incarcerating millions and millions of people. Matter of fact, they stated that U.S. is the largest, has the largest percentage of prisons per population in any other country in the world. What I would like to ask you is that, what is the significance of militarizing your local police force? How does that come into play in terms of the condition of a people when it comes to this question of the economy? Because you know, the more and more difficulties, hardship that comes about in terms of people living on a daily basis, the more they're prone to do certain things, quote unquote, will break laws just to survive. So I'm asking you, what is the logic behind now militarizing your local police forces? They are now buying equipment that the military normally use in battles outside of the countries. Now they're bringing these kind of techniques and military equipment inside the local police to be used against the people when you're talking about social control. What is the basis of that, Brother Hackett? You actually up for that?
Well, the basis is the protection and proliferation of the global economy. The global economy, of course, and it not only creates scarcity, but it creates a situation where people don't have any hope or any opportunity. That in itself creates a tremendous amount of frustration. Now, those maintenance men or the power structure, these individuals are not naive. They understand that the level of hopelessness is growing leaps and bounds, and I think the Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street movement exemplifies, you know, just how frustrated and angry people are. And so, therefore, the militarization, you know, of the police is very, very important in terms of clamping down on what they perceive as potential chaos. Now, keep in mind, now these things can only, the militarization of police can only exist once it becomes part of some government policy or amendments, you know, passed by Congress. Now, when Obama passed the National Defense Authorization Act, in terms of this notion that you got the right to kill Americans anywhere any American you perceive as an enemy, you have the right to kill them without provocation, without reason. You have the right to kill them. All you have to do is simply not like what they're saying and what they stand for, and you have the right to assassinate them anywhere. Now, If you stop and think about that, if that's not terroristic, I don't know what is. But this is the kind of stuff that's going on and on and on, because they understand that given the reality of the economy, people around the world are, even in the United States, people are beginning to wake up and understand that there's a tremendous amount of injustice that doesn't have to exist. There's a tremendous amount of suffering that doesn't have to exist. But I think people are coming to the realization that you have to take a stand in terms of confronting this stuff, as opposed to being pragmatic in the sense that you say, well, you know, I understand what's going on, but I'm not going to say anything because I feel if I say anything, then that might undermine my ability to get a job. So I think that once you understand, given the nature of the economy, the decline of the economy, I mean, if you're worried about a job, the reality is you're not going to, the probabilities are you're not going to find a job making $80,000, $90,000, you know, a year anyway. And I just want to add one other thing that's very, very interesting just in terms of policy, that when Mitt Romney talks about middle class being anybody making $200,000, $250,000 a year, I think it was a Freudian slip. I think what he was saying is that those without means, those without money, they exist esoteric anyhow. And so therefore creating policies or passing amendments which undermine one's humanity, which denies people rights to food, shelter, and medical care is par for the course. It's a natural course of events. And so therefore all of this stuff that happened in terms of the laws of the hand has a direct correlation to the global economy, and this is precisely why they're doing it. And people have to understand that reality.
Okay, right now we'd like to acknowledge our audience that you are listening to Brother High King. We are dealing with the theme tonight, A World Perspective from Below. We're talking about various issues, but the main point of view is we want to look at it from a perspective below. When we say below, we're talking about those who are being marginalized, those who are being victimized, those who are oppressed by the system that we know in capitalism. We're going to take a pause for the calls for 30 seconds, and then when we come back, we'd like to invite any of our audience who would like to give their views and comments on the subject matter by calling in at 323-679-0841. That's 323-679-0841. But let's take a pause for the, we're going to take a pause for the calls for 30 seconds, and then we'll be right back. We are back live again on Africa on the Move. Tonight we're dealing with the theme, and the theme for this night is A World Perspective from Below. Right now we are with our brother Haki from the African Wellness Association, who is giving his perspective on the economy and the worldview in terms of how he sees today's reality. Brother Haki, let's continue the discussion. When we talk about the economy, one of the things I think we need to talk about the relationship of the function of classes. We're in society. We're in a society. Now, when we talk about class, first, can you just define what a class is? And then talk about what role African people is playing within this economy when it comes to the class question, the good and the bad. Brother Haki, you can move forward.
Yeah, well, I think class is simply defined as one's social standing, one's status, or even one's occupation, and the amount of material possessions they are privy to. I think it separates people in terms of things as furious as, you know, what they own or what they don't own. So I think that's a question of class. And then class is very pervasive in American society in terms of as a mechanism of control. One of the things that makes it very difficult for African people in America to move forward is the whole issue of class. I think it's one of the things that people are not particularly comfortable with talking about, but I think they have to talk about it, and that is the whole issue of class. There's a big discussion, you know, in terms of which way forward. Now, there are those within the African community who take a position that economics is the way forward, and there are others who take a position that politics is the way forward. Now, for those who take the position that economics is the way forward, it's very, very interesting, because if you stop and think about it, since when have possession of money ever changed anything if you don't actually have a desire to use it in the correct way or to move forward to empower a community? So simply having money in and of itself has never been a solution. But there are those who will propagate that because simply because they want to have access to money. So to a large extent, you can theorize that they pretty much internalize this notion that money, in fact, defines who you are. And in fact, money should never define who you are. In fact, if people were secure in themselves, there would be no need to have class. There would be no need to look down upon anybody simply because of what they don't have. That is not to say that you don't have differences in terms of social skills or people's access to education. I mean, you're always going to have that no matter what kind of society you have. But it doesn't mean that you can't create a society in which you're geared toward helping the least among you as opposed to punishing the least among you. So I think the class is pretty pernicious. Now, for those who take the position in terms of politics, I think it's important to understand that you have to, this whole notion of political clarity, that you've got to understand what it is that you're trying to achieve and how you go about achieving it. Now, if I'm working with you and we have a clear understanding of what we're up against and what we want to do, any monies that we come across, then we understand instinctively our responsibility in terms of how to utilize that money for the common good. In America, the African American population constitute about, in terms of the GDP, in terms of expenditures, is about the eighth largest economy in the world. Now, but even though that's reality. But when you look at our condition in terms of what happened with our young people, when you look at the mass incarceration of young black males, then obviously this whole issue in terms of economics is not happening. There's something that's missing. And what is missing is political clarity, is ideas, understanding. I think on one hand, those who push for economics have an innate desire not to understand the way the economy works. In other words, their desire to be just like others speaks to a kind of self-loathing, a kind of wanting to be like someone else, because you don't understand, you know, that the way others do things is not necessarily the right way to do it. But you have internalized that, and so therefore, I think on some level, people have been wanted to believe that somehow that based upon their color of skin, they're not as fit. So they're constantly trying to be just like the other. So I think that's real problematic. But politically, we have to be able to think in terms of what the problem is and how we're going to address that problem. It's only then we get the money that you know how to do it and what to do. And I think that's important. And this issue of class, you know, it's a very protracted problem. And it's something that we have to deal with. The situation is very, very dire for African people in America. And if there is no consensus on this issue in terms of which way forward, whether it be political or economics, then I think we're at a standstill, which is for us, I think, very, very problematic.
Okay, Brother Hakeem, we have less than 2 minutes to go. I want you to recapture the essence from the discussion. What are the major points, idea you want to have people to remember as we dealt with this question of a web perspective from below? Give me a summarization of some of your major points that you raised. You got about 1 minute.
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is we have to think in terms of organization, but we have to talk in terms of political organization, in terms of having a discussion in terms of what's going on, to sharpen our skills, to sharpen our acumen in terms of understanding the world around us and our place in it, and how can we move forward to create an alternate paradigm. I think understanding the economic system is also very, very important. We have to understand the economic system, and you can never do that unless there's some kind of discourse with others who take a different view in terms of how the economic work. So I think that's very, very important. But I think that given the economic situations that we're confronted with, our situation, as I stated before, is very, very dire. And I think we have to begin to do something, because if not, when you look at the situation, I do implore people to read the history of Nazi Germany and Fascist Italy and compare the two and see the correlation between what happened in Nazi Germany and Fascist Italy and what's taking place in America right now. I think that's very, very important people begin to do that, because the situation is very, very dire. And those are things I would hope people would take very seriously and sort of implement.
Brother Hakeem, we'd like to thank you for your articulation on the theme tonight. And we'd like to share with our audience that we'll be back on on the 18th of September, 11:30, same time, same place. Until next time, from Brother Africa, let's move forward and backwards never.